From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this hour. Numbers to follow in just a moment. And next hour, explorer Robert Sarmast. He joins us as we discuss some incredible structures 1 mile under the sea off of Cyprus. When you get a moment, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at the feature article. Some incredible graphics there of what Robert believes happened many, many years ago. Well, just what you want to hear. The price of oil is going up. Why this time? Well, oil surged near $77 a barrel after BP, that's the name of the old British petroleum company, by the way, began shutting an Alaskan field down that accounts for 2 to 8% of U.S. crude production. I think it's closer to the 8%. Even as anxiety over the Middle East, supplier of almost a third of the world's oil, ran high, BP said that it was shutting down indefinitely an oil field in Alaska, cutting production by 400,000 barrels a day. The closure was due to this discovery of severe corrosion and a tiny spill from an oil transit line. They said they're going to have to replace 16 miles of 22 miles of pipeline. Well, be on guard for this. The FBI has alerted all state and local authorities to be on the lookout for 11 exchange students who arrived from Egypt into the United States last month but never showed up for class. The men, who range in age from 18 to 22, were scheduled to attend a month-long program in U.S. history and culture, plus some English language instruction at Montana State University, along with six other students. The group flew from Cairo and arrived in the United States on July 29. They all entered the United States legally, but officials said that the no-shows violated the terms of their visas and that the government would likely send them home once they turn up, wherever they may be. The FBI said that there was no indication that the men were involved in any illicit activity. However, there seems to be an all-points bulletin out for these 11 Egyptian exchange students somewhere in the United States. Israeli troops shot down an explosive-laden drone aircraft on Monday as Israel continued its assault on Hezbollah guerrillas along the southern border of Lebanon. The drone was shot down over the Mediterranean Sea near the port city of Haifa. Officials believe that it may have been headed for Tel Aviv. They say it was an Iranian-made aircraft that can be shot from a pneumatic launcher. Israeli media said the unmanned aircraft had the capacity to carry 40 kilograms of explosives, nearly as much as the more powerful rockets Hezbollah has been firing into Israel for the last 27 days. And Lebanon's government rejected a UN ceasefire plan backed by President George Bush, demanding Israel immediately withdraw even before a peacekeeping force arrives, and promising to send 15,000 troops to take control of the Hezbollah stronghold along the border. In Yuma, Arizona, 9 illegal immigrants were killed in a highway crash while trying to escape Border Patrol agents, and at least 12 others were injured. The large sport utility vehicle carrying up to 22 people swerved to avoid a spike strip, which was put out there by the border control agents. 4 victims died at the scene, 5 others pronounced dead at a hospital, 5 in critical condition as I speak. In Franklin Township, New Jersey, police say that there will be no underage driving charges against a 15-year-old girl who accidentally ran over her mother during a driving lesson. Because the accident took place on private property, police said there will be no prosecution. Police said the girl's mother, a 39-year-old, was teaching her how to parallel park at about 3:30 p.m. Saturday when the girl backed the car over her. It's believed the girl may have hit the gas pedal instead of the brake. She was pinned under the 1997 Chevy Cavalier. Emergency crews got the car off her, but she was pronounced dead at the scene. If you're into science, you're going to love this one. A project aiming to create an easier way to measure cosmic distances has instead turned up something very surprising, that our large and ancient universe might be even bigger and older than previously thought, if accurate. The finding would be difficult to mesh with current thinking about how the universe evolved. Now, you know, scientists are now estimating that the universe is about 13.7 billion years old and is about 156 billion light years wide. I don't know what's on the other side of it yet. They say the new finding implies that the universe is instead 15.8 billion years old and about 180 billion light years wide. A new way to measure distance, they say. So it's an incredible story. Science keeps changing things. And also, a bar in China allows its customers to beat up the staff. I kid you not. The Rising Sun Anger Release Bar, that's what it's called, lets customers smash glasses and even hit specially trained workers. The owner, a fellow by the name of Wu Gong, says he was inspired to open the bar by his experiences as a migrant worker. The bar employs 20 men who have been given protective gear and physical training to prepare them for this job. Clients can ask the men to dress as the character they wish to attack. One customer said, "Hey, the idea of beating someone decorated as your boss seems pretty attractive." But another man, I think, has the better answer. He said violence was not the answer. He says if people really feel angry, they should adjust their lifestyles or seek psychological treatment. I agree. Well, we've got open lines for you for the entire hour west of the Rockies. Here we go. 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is ready to go, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Open lines for you this hour. I'm really looking forward to talking with Robert Sarmast next hour about some of these sunken cities, some of them a mile or so underwater. Man, something happened a long time ago on this planet. Let's hope it doesn't happen again. Let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Are you going to go?
Is that me?
I hope so. Go ahead.
Hi.
I'm now clipping you 15 seconds of valuable time.
Well, I was calling. I was wondering if you had any updates about Mel's hole.
Nope.
Or what happened to Mel.
I have no idea what happened to Mel. He may have, I think he sold the old hole and took off. Nobody knows where he is.
Oh, really?
I had a guest on who was working on a website, it must have about 6-7 months ago, and he was collecting data and information and things like that. But nobody knows where Mel is. Other than the fact that somewhere out there, there's a hole or two that just seems to keep going down and down and down.
Those two programs are my favorite coast-to-coast programs. Do you think you'll ever replay them?
We play little snippets every once in a while.
Oh, really?
Whenever anybody asks for a Mel Hold question, but I'm not going to do it tonight because I don't have time. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hey, George, it's Andrew. I called in a few days ago. You said, remember it was the Buzz Lightyear, Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin question with the IAC acronym.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you ever have your science correspondent look that up?
No, they're still looking on it.
Oh, because it's been bugging me. I've had dreams about it now.
You've had dreams about this?
I've actually had dreams about it, correct.
Well, we'll try to get you the answer then as soon as we can.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's just been bugging me constantly.
You haven't been able to dig up anything, huh?
Well, no. Every time I Google IAC, it comes up like International Academy of this or something like that. It's weird, but it just keeps sticking in my head, and I kind of feel like I spilled the beans, like I said something I shouldn't have said.
And they yanked it.
Yeah, it's very odd.
I mean, I tried to search for it. Saturday morning,
yeah,
I couldn't find anything that was related to what you were talking about.
Yeah, I can't either, but it's very odd. It's I don't know if you've ever had the feeling like you've told someone something that you shouldn't have told them. You accidentally said something. That's what I feel.
Oh, yeah.
Like.
I've done that sometimes.
Yeah. It's really odd. Sometimes more than sometimes. I was just hoping you had found something.
Okay. Nope. Nothing yet. He's the one. He had a dream, and he had this. He saw these initials, IAC, and they're driving him crazy. And it had to do with Buzz Aldrin, who was our guest last week, if you remember, the second man to set foot on the moon. Let's now go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, George.
Good morning to you.
I'm calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. This is Jim.
Hi, Jim.
I listen to you often, and I note that you often have people who claim to have had contact with interaction with interterrestrials.
We've had a few of those. That's
okay.
True.
Okay. If an ET type landed on the White House lawn tomorrow, it would create a major problem for the world's religions, I would guess, right?
Yeah, I think so.
In all your contacts with these people, have any of them ever said what they think the ETs believe in, a deity or a god?
Other than taking that old quote, that paraphrased quote from the movie Contact, do you remember that movie?
I do. I don't remember it.
Well, Jodie Foster was talking to the alien who was looking like her father because he didn't want her to panic, and they were on this other planet. And he basically implied that somewhere along the line that there is a god because others built something, built a machinery that she used in order to travel through through space. And he implied that there is a god. And you know what? I think most ETs probably would imply that, but nobody directly has talked about that.
I would appreciate it in your future contacts with people that maybe you ask that question, that maybe they have heard or try to understand that maybe these ETs do have belief in a higher power, higher than them even.
Now, there is another camp out there that believes that these ETs are not quote-unquote extraterrestrials from other planets. They believe that they may be very demonic, messengers of deception, and they have their own theories about what they think they are. But in terms of the pure people who think they've been abducted, I can't recall any of them talking about the ETs talking about the divine creator.
Well, I'd like, if I ever met somebody who was in that situation, that's a question I'd want to ask.
Yeah, I mean, they'd probably say they don't know, but that's a good question. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. Next up, Wild Card Line, your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello.
This is Mary from Independence, Missouri.
Hi, Mary.
How are you?
The home of Harry Truman.
That's right.
They still
proud
talk,
of it.
They still
proud
talk
of
about
it.
Harry out there, even though he's long gone.
That's right. They sure do. You should see all those tourists coming over here, going to the library and to his home and things like that.
That's great.
I know. Well, the reason why I called is because every time you play that skit, about that guy, you know, with the three little old ladies.
Oh, yeah, you heard the refeed,
oh,
sure.
Oh, let me tell you what. I just laugh and laugh. I need a laugh. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, we all do once in a while. Of course, I'm not going to play it anymore for about a year.
Well, that's
can you
all,
hold
right.
All right.
I needed that laugh tonight. But another thing why I've got you on the phone, I'm not going to be very long with you, but it's been about 2002 I've seen a UFO. And over here in Independence.
Now, what'd you see beyond just a light? What happened?
Oh, well, I seen the ship.
You,
what
you
I would
saw
call
the
a ship.
You could
yeah.
you could like make
in
it
the,
out.
What?
You made it out. You could see.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah. Right. The neighbors. What happened was I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I couldn't sleep, so I went downstairs. And why I went out to the deck is beyond me. But I went out to the deck, and I'm looking north of me. And I'm going, oh, my God. Oh, my, that's all I could say. I came back in. I came upstairs trying to wake my husband up. He wouldn't wake up. So I went downstairs again, got on the phone, and called the police.
And what'd they say?
And I said, listen, I said, and silly me, I said, do you have a helicopter over here by, you know, 24 Highway? And she goes, ma'am, what are you seeing? I said, oh, my God, I knew it, and I hung up on
it. Oh, no.
Yeah, I did. And this is how it happens, I guess, to a person, because I went back out on the deck, and I'm looking at it. And my neighbors were outside, and they were out there standing, so I ran over there in my gown, and I'm going, you guys, what in the world? And Mr. Ed, which I call my neighbor.
Mr. Ed?
Yeah, Mr. Ed.
Like the horse?
Yeah. And anyway, he said, we've been watching this for about 15 to 20 minutes. And I said, oh, my God. Let me tell you what.
So you had witnesses to this thing?
Huh?
You had witnesses?
Yeah. And this thing was, I bet if it would cover Kansas City downtown, it would cover the whole city.
No way. It couldn't have been that big.
Yeah. I swear to God. And on the bottom, George, it had lights like it would, you know, it was pulsating, you know, different kinds of colors of lights on the bottom. And it was stationary. I say we watched it good 10 to 15 minutes. And that thing was humongous, George. I swear to God.
And how close was it to you?
Well, it looked like 24 High was just down below us. All right. I say maybe it was about two or three blocks away from us.
Now, did this ever hit the newspapers? Did it ever hit television or the radio?
Nothing.
Anything
nothing,
that
George.
Big, you would have thought thousands of people would have seen this thing.
Well, let me tell you what. The next day, I don't know whether you ever heard of Mike Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I know
well,
Mike real well.
Okay, Mike was still on the radio.
I mean, I don't know him as a friend. I know of him.
Oh, good. Well, anyway, you know, Mike has been on for a little while. But anyway, when that I got on the phone and called him the next day and I asked him, you know, did he have, and all of a sudden he had about, I don't know how many phone calls on it. But no, nothing was on the.
Okay,
on
so
the,
you and your neighbors, though, weren't the only two then that saw this thing.
Exactly, George. And I mean, this thing was big. And
so let me ask you, do you think it's a military craft of some sort?
No, no, no.
Why? Why do you
the
rule
outline,
that out?
I mean, we could see what color it was. The ship was color, kind of a silver white. And I mean, it was stationary. It was, George.
Did you see any smaller ships attached to it?
No, no.
From the bottom?
Just,
none of that?
No, no.
Could you tell if it was metallic?
No, you couldn't tell whether it was metallic. No,
It was just huge.
Yeah.
And what did it do? Just slowly faded away?
No, it just drifted off to the north, and all of a sudden it took off like a bat out of you know where.
And it was gone.
Straight up, George. And I mean, you know, this happened about 2 o'clock in the morning. And ever since then, I can't go to sleep.
I got to tell you, just with the conviction of your voice, whatever you saw, you believe you saw what you saw.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that in my mind.
Let me tell you.
I don't know what you saw, but you believe what you saw.
My mom was Mayan, all right?
Your mother was a Mayan?
Yeah, my mama was a Mayan Indian, all right? And she had told us stories about, you know, when she was growing up.
Did you say anything about 2012?
All she told us, it was two years before she passed, okay? And she said, you know, I am not going to be here when this happens. You're going to be going down this road, and you're going to stop in the middle of this road because you're going to say, this is not right. You're going to turn around and walk the other way, George. That's what she said.
Maybe she's warning us about something.
I don't know, honey, but let me tell you what. Like I said, it's like an anticipation. Like I know something's going to come on or something's going to happen. I don't know, but I've heard you on Coast to Coast for several years now, and I just had a call, and looky here. I get right through to you.
How about that? It's synchronicity. Well, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being part of the program. And our open lines, of course, will continue. If you need to send me an email, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. By the way, I'm getting lots of emails from those of you who participated in the free StreamLink weekend that we have. We'll do that about twice a year for you to give those of you some exposure to a StreamLink. And it's really a wonderful, wonderful concept where you can get some downloads and podcasts and everything else. It's just a great part of being part of whatever your favorite radio station that you listen to. It's just a neat thing to have. So when I come back, we'll continue with Open Lines this entire hour. And as I mentioned, Robert Sarmast joins us next hour. On Wednesday, because it is a full moon night, I'm going to have a special night of Open Lines for you. You got to during a full moon. I'll be back. Well, the caller who keeps seeing IAC and Buzz Aldrin in his dreams, a lot of you are telling me it stands for the International Astronautical Congress. That may very well be what it means. Very good, very good. Hey, you cleaned us out. You took all the After Dark double CDs. I don't think we have any more. They're gone. So what we're doing now is we're going to give you two free After Dark copies, 14 for the price of 12. If you have not subscribed to After Dark and you're interested, call 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online, safe and secure, at coasttocoastam.com. Hey, before we go into full moon open lines on Wednesday, in the first hour, just for a short segment, I'm going to be talking with the person who sold on eBay what some people think might be a mermaid. So he's going to tell us all about that. And those of you who might not remember the picture that we posted up there on the coasttocoastam.com website, we will do so again on Wednesday night. Absolutely startling. I mean, really strange. But we've got him. And he sold it on eBay. We'll talk with him a little bit in the first hour, okay, 10 o'clock Pacific time. Let's move on. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you, by any chance?
I'm in Tacoma, Washington.
Great. Thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Yeah, my story, first of all, I like your show. I always listen. It's kind of weird I got in.
Thank you.
My topic was on like sleep events, like, you know, more than, you know, I dream all the time, but it's like sometimes when I'm sleeping, I'll get this like fear attack or panic attack or trance type.
Well, now, how do you know if you're sleeping?
Well, I feel this thing come over, and I'm kind of half in, half out, awake.
We call it sleep paralysis.
Oh, okay. Well, the other night I had one, and I sort of saw this little girl in my room because I heard a bunch of things moving around in my room, like papers or something.
Like a little ghost?
Well, I don't know, like paper moving and like pens or something on my desk moving around. And so I was barely able to open my eyes, and I seen this little girl next to my chair and to my desk.
Now, this could be a little more than sleep paralysis then, if you're seeing a spirit of some type in your room.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like this weird feeling I get, and it's like I'm still half asleep, half awake. But
sometimes in our dream state, obviously, we're going to come up and do things like that too. But if you're seeing something, then let's move on from sleep paralysis. It could be something else. I don't know. Just, you know, one of the things that a lot of dream experts will recommend is to keep a little notebook by your bed and a pen or pencil, and just jot this stuff down and jot it down fast. And it may seem awkward to you in the wee hours of the morning, but eventually it'll start making sense to you. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yes, my name is Garrett. I'm calling from Austin.
Hi there.
Hi. I was always wondering about things like when the Sci-Fi Channel started filing lawsuits, but then they totally changed their programming scheme to just totally fiction again. And it seems like it happens a lot when networks start showing UFOs, and then it stops all of a sudden, and nobody hears about it anymore.
Well, I don't know. Discovery and the History Channel have been running a couple of series on UFOs for some time now, some documentaries. I know Sci-Fi does that. I know we're going to do more of that when we start doing some work for Sci-Fi as well. I don't think it's gone away. I don't think anybody has been approached, at least I never have, to not run these kinds of stories or UFO stories. And I got to tell you, in my entire life, regardless of what you hear from people who say the media is controlled and things like that, I have never, ever been stopped doing a story that I've wanted to do. No matter where I've been, and I've worked at a lot of different news organizations in my 36 or 37 years in broadcasting, not once has anybody ever come up to me and said, don't do that, from a general manager to an owner to a government official. And, you know, now on Coast to Coast, as you well know, we let some heavy things fly. As a matter of fact, we're working on another 9/11 special program for you that we'll have ready in several weeks. And, I mean, things that I just don't want to let loose of. And not once has somebody said, don't do it. So I don't know. When people say that, you know, they're government people and they're controlling media and all that, I don't know where they are with me. And we're pretty vocal about it, more so than most, in terms of being a mainstream, large media outlet. I'm not talking about some of the smaller ones that do internet broadcasts and things like that. They're all out there doing a good job trying to get information out, but they don't have a lot of people listening to them, obviously. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm well.
Just had to call in. I had a couple thoughts about mass consciousness and also on the dream state.
All right.
You strapped in?
I'm ready to go.
Okay. If we develop a quantum computer that is intelligent enough to interpret the events that the eggs produce 2 hours ahead of time, would we not therefore transcend the space-time continuum? If we can see two hours ahead of an event.
Hold on, you're throwing out so many physics phrases. I need to go get my old physics books.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Give me a few minutes. I'm going to walk down the hall and pick it up, and then I'll be right back.
Okay, right, the quantum computer, it's infinitely intelligent.
Right.
The eggs, they use our mass consciousness.
And you're talking about the random generator eggs,
yes,
for people
random,
who think you're talking about chicken
generators.
Eggs. Okay.
Yes. Thus far, we haven't been able to use them to, you know, in any way correctly interpret the events
that those
generators are predicting. But if we had a quantum computer that was, say, a little bit smarter than us, and was able to take the numbers produced by the random number generator
and try to interpret that?
And interpret those numbers as to what type of event, where it is, what's going to happen, then that would give us a window 2 hours into the future. And if we got that window, then it would kind of be like looking at a mirror with a mirror behind you.
See,
you know what I'm saying?
For that to happen, though, it would need some real sampling. For example, because the eggs and the random generators are dealing with ones and zeros.
Yes.
Let's say a certain pattern would equate to a major earthquake, and maybe 5 major earthquakes would all have similar patterns.
Yes.
I think then the computer could predict, hey, an earthquake is coming.
Well, that's why it's got to be smarter than us.
But we're going to have a sampling, and I don't think they have it yet.
Well, maybe by December 21st, 2012, it will have enough samples to break us free from our chains.
They might. That's not a bad idea. Science moves quickly. They may do that. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
This is Margot. How are you?
Fine. Margot, you said, right?
Yes.
Where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just, you know, wanted to share something because so many callers call in about sleep paralysis.
Uh-huh.
And it's something I started experiencing as a teenager. And when it first happened, it was very frightening to me, especially, I don't know, have you ever experienced sleep paralysis?
Yes, I have, actually, a couple times. I even had the old hag syndrome.
Oh, well, I didn't have that, but I had a few frightening things.
I prefer the sleep paralysis, by the way, to the old hag. But
anyway, I did, when it first started happening, I found a way that if I didn't want it to continue, I did find a way that worked for me to get out of it, and I wanted to share that.
All right.
If someone's in a position and they just are terribly uncomfortable.
By the way, do not do this without your doctor's supervision. Go
Absolutely.
Ahead.
Well, I found the only thing I could control was my breath. I couldn't open my eyes, but if I really put all my energy into it, I was able to, like, make myself breathe.
I mean,
were
you suffocating while this was happening?
No, but I was probably breathing real shallow. What I'm saying is the only muscles I found I could make myself breathe. And as I started to breathe harder, the paralysis would wear off. And so most of the times I wanted to go with it, but there were times, you know, when it was scary or I knew I was laying face down and I was afraid, gosh, if I leave my body, what if I suffocate or something?
Were these slow, deliberate breaths that you would take?
Yes. Well, once you take that first breath, you feel it. You're not aware of breathing. And I'm wondering if maybe in sleep paralysis you are breathing real shallow.
Well, I'm sure you are, because also in sleep paralysis, there's a moment where people think they're going to have a heart attack, that they're dead. That's it.
Well, anyway,
horrible feeling.
This is my experience. I just thought I'd put it out there. If someone's having sleep paralysis and they want to get
out, you're going to have to give us an example of how we should breathe.
Okay.
Here we go.
Just breathe. You know what I mean? Just try to take, you know how the doctor says, the doctor says take a deep breath?
Yeah, sometimes they say cough, too.
That's the only thing I found I can still control when I'm in sleep paralysis. And somehow, the more you become aware of the breath, you come out of it.
All right, we'll see if that works.
For whatever it's worth, if somebody wants to give it a try, give it a try.
Okay, Margo, thanks for the tip.
Okay, nice talking to you. Okay. Good night, George.
Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, west of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George, hey, this is truck driver Steve.
Hey, Steve, there you are. Somewhere, where might you be, Steve?
I got a question for you. First time caller, driving a truck up the 101 just past Santa Barbara.
All right, don't wiggle your phone too much, though. It's breaking up a little bit on me.
I was afraid of that. Out near Barstow, California, is a solar generating station called Solar One, and it's a big tower. And about 15 years ago, I saw it operating, and in the daytime, it was white hot. They got these mirrors that point towards the tower, and it somehow generates electricity. I don't know the whole thing. It hasn't been operating in the past 10 years or so, and I was just wondering, with all the energy need that we have, if you had any idea why that is not operating.
I tell you what, I do not know why. Maybe someone can do a little homework on that for us and find out. It's offline then, obviously, but I don't know why. That's the first I've heard of it. Thanks for the call. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Joseph. I'm currently in Brooklyn right now. I'm playing a traveling band, and we're on tour. And I just want to thank you guys for the past 2 weeks. You've kept us up many a night.
That's what we're here for, Joseph.
Yeah. Three nights ago, a lady called in asking you about the alien behind the bookcase.
Yes. She wanted to buy it for $1,500, and I told her, don't do it.
That night, our guitar player actually emailed the lady with the quote-unquote alien and asked for more information on it, and I have the email right here.
He's not going to buy it, is he?
No, she actually says, I'll tell you. Okay, it says, I'm not selling him to her. I heard that lady via stream link. No alien for her. Actually, Seth is going to a friend of mine, so she named it Seth, and it says she will keep him safe.
Did she say how much Seth is going to cost?
She's giving it to a friend. She's not going to sell.
Oh, she's just going to give it. All right. In that case, that's great, because I recommended that the lady go up to $20, and I would have included five of that. Hey, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program out there in Brooklyn, the traveling band. That's a tough job, going place to place in a bus. Who's up next? Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome.
How are you doing?
Good.
My name is John, and me and my buddy, we went out last Sunday here, so last night, and up to a place called Swimmer's Delight in Northern California.
Okay.
Up in Humboldt County, and we basically had an experience with that little 3-foot man that everyone's been talking about on your program.
Whereabouts now? Do you come out of the woods or something?
Well, we were doing some placer mining out there, just checking out with our crevicing tools, looking for some little deposits, and we heard a snap in the bushes. We turned around, and there he was. And he was looking right at us. Didn't do anything, but he turned around and ran away.
Dressed fully clothed, right?
With the brown stuff on. Just really raggedy, really dirty, long hair, And it was gone as quick as we saw it. It was gone.
You sure it wasn't a monkey?
We're sure it wasn't a monkey. He saw it clear as day. My buddy Tommy Seaborn, he saw it.
Amazing.
And he's freaking out. I told him to listen to the program tonight because there was other viewers that had heard it before or seen it before. So
God, you got to capture this thing. Don't hurt it, but you got to be able to get it. Next up, let's go to our international line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Hamilton.
Well, welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, George. Yeah, I seen something a little while ago. It was like something in the sky. It looked like one of those triangles.
A huge one, right?
City block or two.
Yeah, that's big.
Okay, like it was weird, though. Like, you could see the stars through it, but it was, like, distorted or something.
Well, some people are saying, and I've been told this by some people, that this is a military craft, that it's cloaked. You'll see what looks like a star pattern when it floats, because that they like to travel at night, obviously, and that's what that is. Other people think that it is extraterrestrial, and it's a mothership.
I don't know what it is. It was huge. I see probably about 15, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, this has got to be the same thing that everybody saw in Phoenix, and that is all over the country. As a matter of fact, six police officers from Millstadt, Illinois, when I was doing my local show out of St. Louis, because that's just across the river, they saw this thing too. Of course, that's next to Scott Air Force Base. And some people tell me that these things are very close to military bases. So that's one thing you should always check if you happen to see one. See if you're within the proximity of a military base. First-time caller line, your turn. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Scott, and I'm calling from Santa Clarita, California.
Hi, Scott.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah, a couple of things. Last week, we were talking about the NASA project to put a guy on the moon that was...
Yes, Project Pilgrim.
Yeah. Well, Project Pilgrim, go rent Countdown, a 1968 movie with James Caan.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I think, though, they got that from the real project, because Pilgrim was going to be around, 62 to 64.
Right. Well, the movie, I just saw part of, I saw it years ago, and it was on cable the other day, and James Caan played the astronaut, and they talked all about Project Pilgrim, put him on the moon, he had to hike to the habitat, and this was all to beat the Russians to the moon.
Yep, that's it.
And the write-up on the movie that I had from years ago, I went and dug it out of my archive. It was filmed entirely with NASA cooperation using NASA simulators.
I love it. And they called it Project Pilgrim in
Project
the movie?
Project Pilgrim, because the story was leaked to the press by the guy who played Ted Baxter in the Mary Tyler Moore Show, who plays a NASA executive.
Okay.
And now they have to rush to get him to the moon, James Caan flies, and... it was an interesting movie because it actually using some NASA footage in 1968, and they talk about Apollo being a parallel program to eventually put man on the moon.
Did he, in the movie, you can't spoil it for us. I'm going to go get it.
But it's a good movie, yeah.
Okay.
And the other one is for the other caller, Solar One was a 3 megawatt demonstrator plant started in the 1980s. By Rockwell International did a lot of the work on. I worked for the company at the time.
And why isn't it up and running anymore?
Well, it was up and running last time I checked. It's had one or two collector fires, and they've rebuilt the whole collector assembly. And again, it was a demonstrator, and they went on to build some bigger plants in bigger areas around the Barstow area. And last thing I heard, it was operating. Could be just down for maintenance.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, thanks for that.
All right, thank you very much, sir.
Appreciate that. James Caan is a great actor, by the way. Speaking of great actors, actresses, Tommy's trying to get a hold of Kathy Bates to get her on the program just to talk about her career. She's a great actress. She does a great job, only with the stipulation that she doesn't come in to try to break my ankles like she did to James Caan in the movie Misery. We would not want that to happen, would we? Well, stick with us, because just in a moment, Robert Sarmast, our guest, his book, his work, Discovery of Atlantis, incredible. If you have a computer, get up to the coasttocoastam.com website and take a look at the graphic illustrations of some of the things he's going to be talking about tonight. This is an interactive night. We'll be back in a moment.